Well, if we start singing, the rest might hear the call to come in. So let's sing number 328. Down in Latin America, we sing 4, 5, or 6 at the beginning of a meeting, but the brethren don't limit us to 45 minutes, so that's a little different. We'll have to just keep it to one hymn this time. Number 328. Lord Jesus, stoop down on my heart, Lord, those shall forever be mine. Ending of thy glory above, in presence my day and my night. Father, we're thankful for another opportunity to open thy precious word and would ask for help. As we speak about it, give us direction and clarity. The message that has been put on the heart might get over the channels to the hearts of our dear brethren here. Father, we just lay it all before thee, asking for blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this afternoon. I'm going to read a good bit of the chapter, but I'd like to say this before we do, that there's a verse in the chapter that we have taken up in our readings that has provoked my thinking in this direction, or at least encouraged it. Paul tells Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. That's what I have in my heart this afternoon. Encourage us to get out into gospel work. Seems like in many areas we're letting that slip. There's nothing more happy than gospel work, but it does take real spiritual energy and decision. Some have debated whether Timothy was an evangelist. It really doesn't say. It says, do the work of an evangelist. What does an evangelist do? He evangelizes. He gives the gospel out. And we need to be encouraged to get into that kind of work. Really think it is extremely important for the ongoing of the Christian testimony. Young people, older ones too, are you involved in gospel work? Getting out the message that Christ died for the ungodly? It's a happy work, gospel work. Somebody says, if you want to be happy, do gospel work. If you want to have heartbreaks, be a help to your brethren. And so gospel work is a happy work. I must say, I have found it so. But it does take real spiritual energy to get involved. And I look at you young people and I think, wow, I wish I could get into your heart and encourage you to get off that seat and to go after souls. I must say I was encouraged by others in my youth to get into gospel work. I used to do street preaching in Chicago. I mentioned Chuck Hendricks. He used to have a microphone and we could preach on the street because it was Skid Row, downtown Chicago. And a lot of drunks around. And it took a little bit of wisdom to know how to deal with a drunk when he came around. Remember one that came around and he wanted to preach. He was a little bit soused. And Chuck Hendricks handled it quite wisely. He just went over to the microphone and switched it off and let the man speak all he wanted to. When he got done and went on his way, why, we switched it back on and kept on preaching. So it does take some energy and take some decision and take some wisdom too. But there's so many opportunities all around us. I know where we are, we have opportunity to go into a youth village. Kids, anywhere from 12 to 17, who have gotten in trouble with the law somehow. And they're not old enough to be treated under the regular criminal code. It's a private institution that keeps them there and they give us full liberty to go and treat and to give them the gospel. But you know, it has, I really believe, the work in the gospel has a healthy effect on our lives in the assemblies. And I think it's very important that we be exercised in that direction. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, we're more occupied with the assembly side of the truth of God. Let other groups take care of the gospel. I say the truth of God embraces the whole, right from the gospel on. And if you ignore the gospel, you think that's not your burden, I say you need to think again. We need to all be occupied in giving out the gospel. But let's read here a few verses from this fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians and like to make some applications to us. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, notice that small g, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. What a wonderful thing, dear brethren, that we have been brought into the knowledge of the true God. It is spoken of here in verse 7 as a treasure. What is that treasure? The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Brother Bruce, do you know God?
Yes.
To me, that is a most wonderful thing to be able to say. I know God. You know what Muslim doctrine says? God is unknown and unknowable. Over a billion people in this world admit that they will never know God. And you say you know Him? Isn't that wonderful? You young people, you want me to come back there and start asking each one of you, do you know God? Don't have time to do it right now. But it should really impress you. We have been brought into the knowledge of the true God in the face of Jesus Christ. Wonderful. The God that made this universe is the God that came into this world and loved us so much, He went all the way to the death of the cross to redeem this rebel sinner that stands here. It's just tremendously wonderful. But it says here, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And there is the danger of hiding the gospel or hiding the light. Matthew says we can hide it under a bed or under a bushel. Under the bed is just, I suppose, a figure of laziness. It's easier to be laying down on this bed than to get up and go out and encounter souls. The bushel speaks of business. Sometimes we get so busy, don't have any time for the gospel. Oh, what a tragedy if the light He has put into your vessel is hidden from the eyes of man. And I stand up here, dear young people, and others too, not as an example because I've failed in this. Let me tell you just briefly something the Lord used to search my soul when I was in high school. I had a friend in my class. He was my partner in chemistry lab. He was the son of a college professor in that town where I was brought up. One day we were doing some experiments in bending glass tubing. And you know, glass doesn't cool down real fast. And after a while, I didn't know if it was cooled down yet, so I touched his arm with that glass tubing. He said, ow! Anyhow, he came back a couple of days later and he says, look where you touched me on my arm. I'm going to carry that scar to my grave. It was just as if the Lord said to me, you'd better tell him about the Lord. You know what? I just kind of put it off. And a few months afterward, we graduated. And it was about 3 months after we graduated, somebody came up and said to me, "You know what happened to Paul Rempel? He was skydiving and his parachute didn't open in time. Hit the ground too fast and was killed." I never told him. The Lord's allowed that to happen in my life. And I've learned, dear young people, if the Lord puts somebody on your heart, go tell them. Do whatever you can. If you don't feel like you can tell them, get a gospel tract and give it to them. Or a gospel calendar. There's a lot of ways you can do it. But I've learned that when the Lord puts on your heart somebody, you'd better get out and give them the gospel somehow. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. What a tragedy. You have the answer that this world needs, and you're not doing anything about it. Again, I say I can't take a lot of credit myself. I've been encouraged by others getting into gospel work, but I have, especially in South America, found it a really happy work to do. We used to, in South America when I was still single, and without hardly any responsibilities, I didn't have a car, I didn't have any house or anything in those days. We used to go off into the Andes of Peru, back beyond the end of the road, and maybe get a donkey to carry our luggage. But we'd go town to town. We get to a town, we would look for the authorities of the town and ask them for a public place to meet. And they would usually give us the school of the town, and then we would go around in the afternoon when the people got in from the countryside and leave a piece of literature in their homes, invite them to the gospel meeting at night. Generally, 25 to 30 people would come out, and we were able to give the gospel. Very interesting responses. Things from one village to the next, it was totally different. Still remember going across those high plains one time, and way off in the distance, here comes three people running at us, towards us. They thought we were prospectors looking for gold. And they wanted to come and offer their services. The brother that was with me, he spoke Quechua, the Indian language that they spoke, and he started talking to him, and I, of course, didn't understand Quechua. But all of a sudden, the woman just starts crying. Anyhow, afterwards, I understood. She said, "We live like animals up here. Nobody cares about us." He was giving the gospel. What a privilege to give the gospel to people that have never heard. But whether they've ever heard or not, I say it's our responsibility to carry it out. You know, the scripture is very clear. When the Lord Jesus, before he went back to heaven, he said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." Pretty clear, isn't it? Go out. Doesn't mean that all have to leave the country, but when there's so much need in this world, I challenge you to put yourself before the Lord and ask him what he wants you to do with your life. We're not down here to make a big mark down here in business or in any way to make a comfortable life for ourselves. That's not the purpose he's left us here for. One of the purposes is to give out the message of the gospel. And there's crying need in every corner of the world. Oh, I long to see you, dear young people, exercise. I say, you can't be me and I'm not you, so you be yourself. But you put yourself before the Lord. You ask him what he would have you to do. That's the secret. Just like Paul, when he was arrested on the way to Damascus, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" There's so much need everywhere you look. Just want to give a few examples here, or speak a little bit about these verses we've read, first of all, and then speak some practical counsels about giving out the gospel. Notice in verse 2, it says, "We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Bruce, you were mentioning of, what's that man's name? Mahatma Gandhi?
Yes.
Gandhi. And that the reason he didn't become a Christian was because of Christians. Is that it?
He observed the inconsistencies of Christians.
Inconsistencies of Christians. So it shows that our practical life is what commends the gospel. You know, sometimes the illustration is given of Gideon. Gideon, when he surrounded the Midianite host to fight with him, had two things. He had a lighted torch in an earthen vessel, and he had a trumpet. That's the two forms of our testimony, the light and the voice. Showing and speaking. Does your life show the gospel? Remember one of the old church fathers, I think it was, said, "Preach Christ always. If necessary, use words." And that's